In last Sunday's sermon, I preached about the importance of time. True, I preached this mostly to myself at my house. And if you saw my post on Facebook, I had my array of Snoopies and some unidentifiable animal from UVA. So I preached about time last Sunday, that time is God's creation, that the time is always right to be about the work of God, to be a co-creator with God, to make the reign of God visible, that the time is now, always now, to be about that which brings healing and justice. When Jesus stood up in the synagogue and read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, saying that the scripture had been fulfilled in their hearing, saying that he is the one sent by God to bring healing, to bring forgiveness, to bring sight, to bring justice, to bring mercy to us and to all people, the people were stunned. And we hear they thought well of him. They characterized his words as gracious at first. Maybe they didn't quite understand what he was saying. They thought well of Jesus until he started to challenge their expectations, challenge their long-held beliefs and understanding, until Jesus started to include, in a way that was very clear, include all people in God's plan for salvation. Jesus reminds them of the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, that there were many widows in Jerusalem, but God called God's prophet Elijah to go to an unbeliever, to an outsider, to make God's power known and visible in the world. And if that wasn't bad enough, if that wasn't enough for Jesus to say in that moment, he reminds them of Elisha and Naaman, that there were many lepers in Israel, but it is Naaman, the Syrian, the unbeliever, the one who's not Jewish, who's healed, and as a result, praises God and comes to believe. Those in the synagogue didn't want to hear any of that. And who can blame them? What Jesus was saying, though there was this evidence in their sacred stories, was not the way most people thought about God and how God's love and justice works. Are we really any different? What could I say that would be shocking like that? Well, perhaps depending on your preferred political party, it might be shocking to consider that God would work through Donald Trump, right? Or Hillary Clinton. You know, it depends where you are with all that, and that's the whole point. Our circumstances, our beliefs, it has a big impact on how we hear God's word. So that's the sort of shock it was for those listening to Jesus. And you can probably think of something even more shocking. The people who heard Jesus open up Isaiah's words of grace for all people, well, they tried to throw him off the cliff. Are we really much different? We too are products of our time, products of our circumstances. What is exciting about God and about being a follower of God is that God invites us into God's great vision for us and for the world, for all creation. God's vision is one that we know and understand at this time in a limited way. To say that we understand it in a limited way can be troubling because we want to get it right, but also exciting because we know that God will get it right and bring us along. I find the words from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians comforting and exciting. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. We won't always get it right, for our knowledge is limited and we see only in part. But we live in the light of God's love. Greater than our faith, greater even than our hope, is God's love, and also the fact that God is love. It was through God's love that the earth was created, that we were born, that God sustains us. God's love guides us. God's love holds us. And one day we will know fully God's love, even as we have been fully known. Until that day, God has called us into life in this time and place for a reason, for many reasons, for each one of us. Time is God's creation. God is bigger than time, but God acts in time. We see that through the life of Jesus, God acting in a particular time and place. And God continues to act through our lives in this time and place. Because God is so much more than we can understand, so much more loving, so much more merciful, when God acts to bring about God's reign on earth, people are often confused and surprised, sometimes overjoyed, sometimes angry. The Bible is filled with these stories of those who are called by God and the confusion and lack of certainty in their own abilities that often goes with a call or a commission from God. We hear from Isaiah, from Jeremiah today. Jeremiah was a harsh prophet. He called people to account and was not so sure that he should really do this. In fact, Jeremiah needed a good call story in order to justify his prophetic voice, which upset many. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. God is clear that Jeremiah's call is not based on Jeremiah, but based on God, who knew Jeremiah from before he was even born. But Jeremiah says, "O Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you.'" When the call is from God, a true call, God makes it possible. Right? You've seen that in your life. We've seen that in the life of our church. God makes it possible. But being God's prophet is not easy. Answering any call from God is usually not easy, but through the power of the Spirit, we are supported in answering calls from God. Now, I don't need to spend a lot more time on the primates meeting, but I feel I have to say a couple more things. You know I have to, just a couple more. So, and the main reason I'm talking about it today is because it's within the context of call and this context of how you answer a call and what discernment is and walking in the light of God's love that this event in the history of our world makes sense to me, because I believe we as the Episcopal Church have received a prophetic call from God to be about God's work in the world of opening up more and more to all people. Amen. Yeah. And I'd like to share with you, and you might have read this already, some words from the Bishop of Washington, D.C., Marion Budde. She wrote immediately after the announcement, "I regret that the primate's decision has caused pain to those who've already been deeply wounded by prejudice in the church they love because of their sexual orientation. But I am also confident in the decisions we as the Episcopal Church have made based on over 40 years of engagement with Scripture and one another on issues of human sexuality. While not all in the Episcopal Church agree with these decisions, they are as solid as earlier decisions made regarding the full inclusion of women in leadership, our positions on divorce, and our commitment to racial justice. That there is a cost for making decisions that we believe are faithful to the love of Jesus is not a surprise to us. We have always known as Episcopalians that we might face consequences for declaring unequivocally that LGBT Christians are beloved members of the body of Christ. Those consequences are insignificant in comparison with the rejection, marginalization, and violence LGBT Christians have been asked to endure even in their church, in their churches. The way Bishop Buddy speaks of this issue really gives us insight not only into that issue, but into the work of discernment and call in many situations. And every call has consequences, both good and bad sometimes. Every call has consequences, immediate and eternal. Jesus was able to escape from that crowd that wanted to throw him off the cliff. But later Jesus would be in the Garden of Gethsemane, unsure of this call from God that seemed to demand his life. And he asked that God release him from that call. If this sort of struggle with call was true for Jesus, how can we expect anything less? Having a call can be experienced in many ways, of course. Sometimes it is so clear, sometimes not, sometimes feeling demanding, but God gives us the energy for it. In the end, Jesus knew the call on his life to be this divine love in the world, to be God's sacrificial love. He knew it, and he was able to answer that call. But Jesus questioned and struggled, and so do we. We, like Jesus, discern whether or not we are called to something. And to switch gears a little bit and to look at our community, perhaps you are struggling with feeling a call to something in the church and doing something here in the church, like being on the vestry, for example, right? When you say vestry in the Episcopal Church, like 8 times out of 10 people either groan or laugh, like, you've got to be kidding. I don't want to do that. There may be some of you questioning and struggling in your heart about it. As our current vestry members will probably tell you, the hardest part about accepting God's call to stand for election to our vestry was concern based not on what's happening now, but on the past, before I got here. And that's valid. But being on the vestry now is fun, right? Yeah. Most of the time, anyway. And our meetings last 2 hours, once a month, which again is kind of unprecedented in the Episcopal Church. Sometimes they go on and on. But really the main thing I'm getting at here today, how does one know if you have a call to be on the vestry or a call to offer your gifts in another way, a call to be prophetic? How do you know this? This is where discernment comes in. Discernment to a call, be that of ordained leadership or lay leadership, happens between the person and God, but also in community. Sometimes you know because people start asking you, have you thought about being on the vestry? Have you thought about helping with this or that? I see this in you, they're saying. Did you know that in our diocese we offer discernment retreats several times a year for people feeling a sense of call to leadership, both lay and ordained? And I bring this up in this way because for so long in the church, people thought about call only in the sense of ordination. But that is wrong-headed. It is not true. In fact, sometimes people love for God and desire to follow God causes them to think they're called to be a deacon or a priest when in fact they are not. Because everyone is called to love God deeply. Everyone. If you feel this incredible love for God, it doesn't mean you're necessarily called to do anything different, but to love God in the circumstances of your life. Everyone is called to love God deeply, to follow God, and to help others know God. That is every Christian's vocation, and it is a beautiful one, a beautiful vocation. Baptism is everyone's ordination to their Christian vocation. In our February Messenger, that's our monthly newsletter, you'll find an article by a church member, George Collier, and I warned George, I was going to mention his name, in which George describes the development of his call to be involved in many ways in the church, but this was gradually, over a long time, and about his sense of call to be on the vestry. I recommend it to you because George really puts it in an understandable context without any theological jargon, if you will. George uses the word invitation rather than call, which I like a lot as he's experienced it. in the sense that each of us has an invitation to get involved in this church in ways that will help us be the church God is creating us to be, and in ways that will enrich your life and strengthen your spirit. Our baptism is our invitation from God to get involved, and God's invitation comes with support from the Holy Spirit and from our community. A true call from God is one that God makes possible. What is your call? What is the invitation of God and this church to you? What gives you energy when you think about it? What perhaps challenges you to imagine it, but there's something in the back of your mind, in your heart, in your spirit that makes you think, well, I think this is for me. Is it something new? Is it something you've done in the past? Is it time to give up something in order to be open to a new invitation? Discernment and call happen in the midst of life, in this time, in this place. We are all called, we are all invited to be part of God's great love for the world. We do not understand it fully. We might not always get it right, but we live in the light of God's love. May the light of God, the energy of the Holy Spirit, help us to accept God's invitation to be co-creators with God, to make this world a more inclusive place, to make this world better, to share God's love with others. Amen.